this political coliseum, we slay the rising beast with the fateful sword of truth that transcends hypocrisy and censorship. It's time to unleash yourself from the tyrants of media propaganda on the America Out Loud Talk Radio Network. This is Unleashed, the Political News Hour.
This is Unleashed, the Political News Hour on the America Out Loud Talk Radio Network. Piloting the airwaves, I'm Chris Cordani behind the microphone. Follow me on X, that's Chris Cordani 1, at Chris Cordani 1, all one word with the number 1 after that. That number 1's pretty important because there are a few with my name out there. I have a lot of fun stuff there, so join me at Chris Cordani 1 on X. You can also find me on Nosebook and other assorted social media. With me later in this program is Tremis Evans. He's a good fellow who was persecuted for walking into the Capitol building and doing whiskey shots there. He brought his own whiskey, so don't worry, didn't steal anything from Nancy Pelosi's liquor cabinet, but we'll talk government weaponization and the Biden administration's constant and shameless push to step on the backs of regular people who question the far left's desperate need to maintain control of the nation and the world. It has to do with more than political opposition. It has to do with the American and Western left's forceful and desperate push toward Agenda 2030 and the World Economic Forum's Great Reset. And they want to shove that down our throats before Biden loses the 2024 election, because he's on the verge of doing that. And if he does, by some miracle, find a way to win, I don't think anybody wants to leave this in the hands of the likes of Kamala Harris, even as an empty figurehead. Already in Biden's arsenal is the DOJ's persecution. I like saying persecution, but technically it's prosecution. Really, it's persecution of two men who found Ashley Biden's diary and sent it to a journalist. We know it's James O'Keefe. But here's what happens. Under Biden, tipping off a newsman is punishable by law if it goes against a Democrat. Yet, the same far-left establishment praised hearsay from the likes of Lieutenant Vindman and some kid named Eric who used to work for Obama. The sick thing is they don't hide this bias, and the media tries to normalize it. Oh, and if you hire a lawyer and want to represent a deplorable who questions the far-left establishment, who questions the integrity of our election system at this point, who questions the last-minute changes of 1 year of elections, don't do it or else the hammer comes down on you. Just ask John Eastman and Jeffrey Clark, among others. Don't bring up the Constitution and the and facts to challenge activist leftist judges and the DOJ's opinions. Just ask Peter Navarro. All this is happening while Biden's still buying votes. This man is desperate to stay in power. He'll use every tool he has to step on his opposition, and he'll continue because that apparently is not enough. Every bit of lawfare tossed at Trump and his associates has given Trump free advertising on his side. Biden is still buying votes. Another new student loan forgiveness plan is on the way. He announced this in Wisconsin on Monday. So lawfare is not working. He'll go with bribery. Well, I'm sure he's used to that as well, but we'll get to that at another time. At least that's the speculation. Some states also have banned the Zuckerbucks. The liberals don't like that. The left is looking to those states that kept that Zucker money around and the private money into running elections so they can keep a close, or let's just say, hand in it. Let's face it, the left around the world is working its hardest to maintain and keep power on the good side, or at least on our side. And this man's going to be a marked fellow. Javier Milei, the Argentinian president, makes leftists cry once again. He slashed 1,500 useless government bloat jobs. Protesters are going to screech. The government, well, they'll say trade unions, but I'm pretty sure the unions will unite with the government workers there. But it had to be done. It needs to be done here. Milei is going to slash jobs, and it looks like he's already moving forward with his campaign promises. Imagine that. Somebody who actually moves forward on campaign promises somewhere in the world. Yes, Trump did that. I don't think he drained the swamp fast enough. I'm not sure if if he was right in hiring some of the Swamp members to help him out with that. But that's a different story for a different day. Malay is not only draining the swamp, he's shoveling it out, throwing it in the tar pits and burning it. He's slashing jobs, and it looks like he's taking down the National Institute Against Discrimination. Okay, and this is one of the many departments he's getting rid of. Why is taxpayers' money here and around the world being spent on these DEI initiatives? Don't we have enough activists that get all sorts of money from some private donors anyway to do this and annoy the rest of us with it? Taxpayers should not be fueling anything that doesn't help run the government or fix roads or anything like that, or maybe help out people who need it before finding another job, that sort of thing. Hey, I'm all for a safety net. I don't mind that. Any good capitalist system has one. But a National Institute Against Discrimination, or how about this, Ministries of the Economy, Energy, and Social Security, those might be necessary, but there are a lot of political patronage jobs in these departments in Argentina, and yes, in the U.S., let's say counterpart or similar agencies. They don't have to be there. These are thank yous to people who donate money or do some legwork for candidates, but that usually comes at the expense of A, quality, and B, taxpayer money. Do you really think that Pete Buttigieg is qualified to be the Department of Transportation Secretary in America? Do you really think we need a Department of Education? We didn't have one before the far left took over in the early 90s, and Bill Clinton and his cohorts at the time decided to push that through. We had the Department of Health, Education, and Welfare. It was all taken care of in one department. A neat shield there, a neat capsule, if you will. But there is so much bloat in governments around the world, it's hurting the regular taxpayer of each nation. Javier Milei understands that. Donald Trump understands that. I understand it. You understand it. We need to clean up the swamp. We need to take lessons from Javier Milei. He's draining the swamp. That's how to do it. On the other nose, this also means the left is going to take severe action against him. They're piling up. They're getting ready for the next election. They're pulling the old call Trump a racist, have a protest against him every few months to make people think, oh my gosh, he's done a pretty good job, but let's normalize and make sure there's no more riots or anything, or no more of this or that. So let's appease the left and put them back in power so they won't cause any more problems. That's what happened. That's part of what beat Trump in 2020. Some of that sentiment. Remember, you only need to sway votes, whether it be in a manipulative way, or in, let's say, a more physical way that, well, we can discuss it another time, and we have discussed many times on many forums. But let's put it this way. The left is going to take some action. They're going to find a way to beat Milei next time around, and they're going to pull the Bolsonaro at him. Okay, they're going to pull that on him, where the left has thrown that guy in jail because he had the audacity to run Brazil and win an election and bring policy that aren't far left wingnut policies into action. That's what's going to happen in Argentina. Mark my words, the far left establishment, with the help of some of the, let's say, world figures, are going to pull the old Brazil election skidoosh on them and steal power from Milei the next time around. We know that. Biden and the hard left here are using taxpayer funding government powers to try to shut down and perhaps jail Donald Trump. Brazil, look what they did. Look how they manipulated things. Do you know that you're not allowed to get this? YouTube allows us now, or at least a little while ago, they started allowing us to talk about the 2020 election and possible integrity issues. But you're still not allowed to discuss the Brazilian election, the one that Lula the Loon won over Bolsonaro, who, the left swooped down on that guy and threw him in jail to take his power away and take any chance of him or his followers to run for president and run this guy through the mud. This is exactly what the leftists here are trying to do to Donald Trump, successfully done to Bolsonaro, and I'm sure Milei is not far off from having this happen to him if the far left gets into power in Argentina. These leftists will stop at nothing to force the globalist agenda and do the Klaus Schwab bidding. Malay is a marked man by these people. Trump's a marked man by these people. Bolsonaro has already been thrown in jail. The cool thing is, though, about Malay is he knows this. And he's cleaning the Argentinian government swamp as fast as Trump said he wanted to. Future President Trump, when you win, let's move in on this whole swamp cleaning in a similar fashion, as long as Congress doesn't stand in the way. And yes, that Scotland law I mentioned last week, the one where you can go to prison for up to 7 years for hate speech against the alphabet people. Surprise, surprise, it's being abused already. Scotland officials are being inundated with these phony calls or to try to hang people they don't like or for something that could be construed very subjectively, even far-fetched to the wording of this law. It's getting annoying for them. Well, it's coming here. It's going to be around the free world. This is a test area, just like New York City is the test for that, the congestion pricing or driver's tax, as I like to call it. So watch what's happening in these small areas. Let's say Scotland, a smaller country, a one city like New York, because other areas, other countries, other cities are looking at these things, watching what's happening and seeing how effectively they can implement these same rules. And for you, for the latest health resources and product innovations that may well enhance your life, go to AmericaOutloud.shop. We can find all the really cool stuff over there and use the code OUTLOUD to get special discounts from our America Out Loud family. Chris Cordani here, straight ahead on Unleash the Political News Hour. Tremis Evans joined me as we take a deeper look into the subject of government weaponization.
Cardiovascular disease is the leading cause of death and disability. Today's high-stress, on-the-go lifestyle makes it hard to stay heart healthy. Lifestyle changes like exercise and diet are critical, but you can also support your heart with concentrated nutrients. Healthy Cell created Heart and Vascular Health to support three aspects of heart health: cholesterol, blood pressure, and triglycerides, with CoQ10, vitamin K2, resveratrol, and soluble fiber. And Healthy Cell's not a pill. It's a patent-pending gel you swallow with ultra-absorption of science-backed ingredients. You would need to take 13 pills to get the same amount of nutrients in each gel pack. And these great-tasting gels come in a small packet. Tear off the top, shoot it down, or mix it in water. Get heart healthy. Go to HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first order. HealthyCell.com. Code OUTLOUD for 25% off.
World-class care from doctors you can trust, all from the comfort of your home. That is One Wellness. Dr. Peter McCullough and his team at The Wellness Company launched the One Wellness membership to provide free monthly supplements and unlimited telemedicine access with doctors that share your values. The Wellness Company's chief medical board designed every supplement and medical protocol with your health in mind. From groundbreaking supplements like the Spike Support Formula to unique care like Freedom from Big Pharma. Join a healthcare system that puts your health and well-being above the interest of Big Pharma's bottom line. It's the way healthcare should be, with a company that shares your values. Go to OutLoudCare.com today and use code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first month of One Wellness.
You're listening to Unleash the Political News Hour on the America Out Loud Talk Radio Network. I'm Chris Cordani. A few days ago, a 71-year-old great-grandmother from Colorado was convicted over charges in connection with walking into the Capitol building on January 6, 2021, amid a mostly peaceful protest where people questioned the methodology and integrity of the 2020 presidential election. Yes, you know that's happened. I've talked about this before. But Rebecca Lavrenz, known on social media as the J6 Praying Grandma, and again, she's technically a great-grandma, was convicted by a jury, probably filled with morons, who obviously had time to do this, but we can get into that at another time. According to the Colorado Sun, investigators confirmed that she was there by reviewing surveillance footage showing her in her little outfit, the white hat and red scarf. Think about that. The government was just going through, sifting through people who came in who did nothing just to harass them for walking in and asking or wondering about the integrity and methodology of an election. She's going to appeal, which is a good thing, but think about that. 4 convictions. She's among many of whom the DOJ threw the proverbial book at for walking into that Capitol building that day and really just being there. On the other nose, the same leftists ignored, encouraged, and in some cases gave financial aid to rioters who committed real crimes, destroyed property and livelihoods during the St. Floyd mostly annoying riots. This doesn't stop with the grandmas, grandpas, and curious folks at the January 6th protest. The Biden administration is using its powers from the DOJ and FBI to stop and step on any political opponents, from Trump to the rank and file. This is true government weaponization, and the abusive wielders of this kind of power must be stopped. With me is a man who's working on this now. He was at the protest on January 6th. You might remember him as the guy who the media says was drinking shots of whiskey in Nancy Pelosi's office. A slightly exaggerated story, but at least he was nearby. Tremis Evans, welcome to the show, Tremis.
Thank you so much for having me, Chris. Glad to be here. Sorry, I had a slight delay there getting my mute off.
Oh, that's okay. I figured the time zone between New York and Texas may have done that.
Right. We'll blame it on the eclipse, Chris.
I like that idea. Here's something for you. I know you didn't actually do the shots in the office, as the media said, but did you get a little peek in there? I was curious about how stacked that liquor cabinet was in there. Well, if you saw it, was it stacked on a scale of Lieutenant Colonel Henry Blake to Otis the Drunk from Andy Griffith?
Well, it seems that other people found their way into those in the liquor cabinet, the mini fridge, and so forth. And there was a distribution going on. As a matter of fact, gentlemen, I think was actually charged with the theft of a beer that I'm aware of. So there's certainly been some of this. There was certainly plenty to go around. But, you know, Chris, I always want to remind the American people that drinking alcohol inside the United States Capitol, I don't believe is criminal. If it were, Nancy Pelosi would already be doing life in prison.
There you go. I will have to say, though, stealing somebody's beer isn't very nice. I would just say the guy who stole the beer should be dealt with. But people who brought their own were working within the law. There you go.
Absolutely. I brought my own. So,
yeah, BYOW, bring your own whiskey. Tremis, it's sickening what's happening to these nice people. I understand those who destroyed property and apparently stole beer should be dealt with, because I don't want anybody stealing my beer. But people who just walked in, and even if they were just led in or being made examples of, like today's equivalent of the public stocks, dragging them through court, humiliating them and via social media and fifth column mainstream media.
Yeah, you're really in a place in time where it's been so disturbing to see this happen to so many people. The grandmothers, I think, is always one that really gets to people. You're looking at little old ladies that had no idea that anything was wrong. They got there after any violence occurred. And this is a perspective people don't get, Chris. So whatever, they think that everybody lined up behind some guys that violently busted a window and got into the building, and then everybody went, yay, and ran in after them. That's not what happened. Those people, when those windows were broken and people started entering the Capitol, were all the way down at the ellipse still. They hadn't arrived. They were over a mile away. Why didn't the police turn us around when we came from the ellipse heading there once they had supposedly were having a riot going on? The police sat there along the roadways, like keeping the parade route open. They were literally blocking the cross streets, vehicle after vehicle, street after street, and waving at us as we just marched right on up there. At any rate, you think about that, Chris, thinking to put that in perspective, and then wonder, how was grandma supposed to know not to go in?
That's a good point. And besides that, I'm sure grandma knew that people could just walk into that building anyway. It's taxpayer funded. They're just asking a question. They're wondering what's going on. They felt, hey, if people are walking in, the coppers are letting us in, the security guards are letting us in, why not?
Well, this is why there's, you know, certain things like estoppel, right, in the law. Because when you have cops standing on the other side of a doorway and you look into the doorway and you see other people that have just entered and they're shaking hands with the police, taking selfies with the police, having casual conversation, giving hugs. Little old ladies were giving hugs. That's the scene I looked in and saw. It's the scene a lot of people saw. And what then, you know, were there a lot of those people doing? What was in their head? Well, okay, the police are okay with it. I'm going to go in. I have something to protest about. How many times have we seen protesters? And people thinking, because their mindset was not nefarious, Chris. What they were doing was demonstrating. Their intent was to demonstrate. And intent used to mean something, but not anymore. Not in this day and age, and not for conservatives at the United States Capitol on January 6, 2021.
I guess the liberals or the far left who took over after the 2020 election figured that usually when conservatives are upset about something or they lose an election, they go home and start working the next day. When the left gets upset about an election or something, they'll see 2 to 4 years of riots or screeching and things like that, which we saw under the Trump administration. We'll get to that later. The January 6th protest, to me, is one of many accounts of government weaponization, which is not a small one, because it's really, this one went against regular people. I'm saying this as opposed to the lawfare and the constant attempts to criminally penalize Joe Biden's political rival and opponent, Donald Trump. The administration of this man in lieu of a president has decided to use its jackboots to step on the necks of, as I said, regular people. Double standards, old news, Tremis, but it needs to be repeated.
You know, Chris, if it wasn't for double standards, Democrats wouldn't have any standards at all.
I like that one. That's a good one. Now, you work with a lot of, you talk to these people here who are being harassed by the government or being put to the screws, if you will. How you seem to be taking it in stride and enjoying your new celebrity status, if you will. But many of these people who are there are private folks, private citizens, people who don't want the attention. You talk with them. How do they feel about what's going on?
Yeah, I'd like to give you some clarity on that. For me, I was quite content without any celebrity status, if you will. I didn't want to be plastered all over the world as an insurrectionist. I didn't want my life destroyed. I didn't want my child's friends to stop coming to our home. Even the people that were in support of us after a terrorism task force of SWAT team came up and raided my home, people were scared to let their children come near us. That went on for years. The cancel culture that happened to the family, my wife's career, the things that have just been absolutely disturbing. People I did business with for 15 years wouldn't no longer speak to me. This is the kind of world we live in, because they convinced them that we were there for an insurrection, a violent insurrection, seditionist and treason, as Joe Biden said on January 6th. And the news continued to play over and over selectively edited clips that were short form, and they failed to show that the police attacked people. And this is all kind of new. I've been out preaching from stages since 2021 all over the country. Anybody that would listen at the gas pump, what have you, just to get people to listen. I mean, let's be honest, Chris, and no insult to you, but when's the first time you had somebody from January 6th on your show? The event happened January 6th, 2021. This is 2024. I would imagine I'm not the first person to talk about it. But in reality, most people, most networks, most people are still afraid to touch January 6th defendants, or people that have been wrapped up in this 3 long years later.
But these are the same people who were very happy to say the St. Floyd riots were mostly peaceful protests. You saw livelihoods destroyed. You saw people getting beaten up, killed, things like that, crimes being committed, looting being done. All you saw with this is a bunch of people, regular folks, private citizens, who had a question. If this was a violent insurrection, if you will, people like Nancy Pelosi, Joe Biden, Alexandria, what's her name, and the like would have been brought out, tarred and feathered over this. All right, they would have been tarred out, They would have been tarred and feathered over this in a semi-violent insurrection. They should be happy they're living in this time where they can come down on people and just ask them a question.
Well, Chris, don't you think it's a little bit odd that the most armed populace on the face of the planet came to January 6th to an insurrection to take on the largest military industrial planet or complex to ever exist on the face of the planet, and they did so without their firearms? They came with plastic flagpoles and megaphones for an insurrection. Does that make any sense?
Yeah, maybe a couple sandwiches. That's about it. There we go.
Yeah. So you, and they say, well, people were wearing paramilitary gear. This is the great misconception. If you've been present in November and December and watching what was happening to conservatives around this nation at the St. Floyd riots, as you mentioned, if you watched those events, what was happening to people when they assembled places, conservatives? Antifa, BLM, these violent radical hate groups were showing up and delivering absolute mayhem. They were beating people. They killed people.
I want to give you something about these Antifa LARPers. So that's what they are. They're LARPers. The kids call them live action role players.
Oh, yes.
They are supposedly strapping young men who cannot attack a senior citizen without going to them 7-on-1. Okay. So they surround people and beat them down if they don't. And they'll never go 1-on-1, by the way. You'll never see these people even go 1-on-1 with an old lady or a senior citizen because they'll get their rear ends kicked either way. They have to go 6 or 7-on-1, and they try to come off as heroes in doing so. The media is no help. They make these people look like freedom fighters, if you will, but they're hardline left-wing authoritarians. They see themselves as anarchists, but they're not.
It's hilarious that they actually, I mean, they need to have a study of history and know what Hitler's brown shirts did or Mussolini's legions or Stalin, what those people were doing. They're the same people. This is turn in your neighbor. It is in the name of fascism. Everything they do is in absolute support of that kind of ideology. And yet they somehow have themselves confused, as you said, as freedom fighting heroes. It's hilarious.
Well, they really think they are. They think they're doing the right thing, or maybe they're just going out to party and have their version of fun. I want to just bring you back to the May 29th insurrection when Donald Trump was president. That's by the church. Donald Trump had this free speech thing right, okay?
2017.
Yes, exactly. Now, Donald Trump had this correct. People were angry because they are over... Well, again, TDS or not, they have the right to have this and they have the right to demonstrate. So Donald Trump needed to do something. He just had them moved over. But he did not prosecute any of them or anybody who was not really committing a major crime because they were questioning the government. That's what you should be doing as an American citizen. It's your duty. But again, what we're seeing now is, and this is where January 6th is important. It should be discussed every day, or at least in more places than it should be, because there's a deeper issue to it. Our government, as it stands now, the Biden administration has been using January 6th and the acceptance of the aftermath of it, as far as what how the government dealt with these people, as a reasoning to keep doing so, to follow people who make bank transactions and mention the word Trump in the middle of them, consider people who prefer a Latin mass as a Catholic to as domestic terrorists or somebody who should be on a watch list. This is disgusting. Now they have new words like new term like Christian nationalists. Okay. They're trying to do their best to make people look like they're on a daily mission to cause some kind of violent insurrection just because they do something that the left doesn't like. And the media and their followers, they seem to go along with this.
Well, they love that idea. They love the narrative because it fits an anti-Trump narrative, your TDS, as you spoke about. You know, one of the things you made point or like to reference to is that January 20th, 2017, when Trump was inaugurated, do you not remember seeing your nation's capital on fire, burning, as violent riots took place, police cars were flipped, police were attacked, and they were trying to march to the inauguration saying they were not going to allow Donald Trump to become president. They were not going to allow that. That was an insurrection. If you remember Wisconsin in 2011, when they took the state house in Wisconsin, and who was first on the scene from the federal government to make a statement about it? None other than Nancy Pelosi. Mm-hmm. They took and held that building. They stayed for weeks refusing to leave and interfering with the actions of the legislative branch in Wisconsin. And then what did they do? They kept, again, 2 weeks, over 2 weeks, they held the building. Nancy Pelosi's statement was, "This is democracy in action."
Well,
where was that statement for January 6th?
Well, she was siding with the people in Seattle too, the ones that decided to take their own I'm not sure what they want to call it, the filthy hippie zone, if you will. I guess they're not really
Chaz
hippies,
and but Chop.
Yeah,
those
Chaz,
were
that's
the
right.
Autonomous zones, and right, and those in Chaz and Chop, you had armed men patrolling a border they set in these United States, Chris. On the continental United States, not some far off land outside of our embassy or something, in here, United States sovereign soil. And they said that they had claimed it. You were no longer in the United States. It was their own country. And it did not, the laws and rules of the United States did not apply. That is an insurrection.
Had these people been conservatives, Trimis? Had these people been conservatives who. Just
the Biden administration would bring the F-18, as he likes to say.
Well, let's put it this way. Had these people been conservatives and the president was a Democrat and these people didn't hold themselves up anywhere but some kind of private area and they practiced some kind of religion that the left didn't seem to like, they would have been gassed and burned. No,
absolutely.
And by the way, that happened. So, the idea is, Trimis, the government's coming down on regular people, and now they're at the point where they're making sport of it.
Well, it serves the narrative, the Get Trump narrative. All of this was the little flood of raindrops amounting to the torrent that they're using to destroy a political class, a interested party, and ideally and ultimately the United States president.
I'm Chris Cordani. You're listening to Unleash the Political News Hour. We're going to go a little bit more in depth into what's going on here with the government weaponization of its full arsenal, if you will, from a lawfare against Donald Trump to stepping on the little guy, and the little guy that they swore that they wanted to protect. I guess you have to follow a certain ideology for that. But get all the articles, podcasts, and pertinent news, always the uncensored truth from a team of truth seekers who always put gun and country first on AmericaOutloud.news. I'm Chris Cordani. Trimis Evans will be with me, continuing on, moving forward, straight ahead, if you will, on Unleashed, the Political News Hour.
Expert opinions, honest debate, and in-depth investigations are what you've come to expect. From AmericaOutloud.news. We don't shy away from speaking the truth boldly and plainly. All that's missing is the propaganda that has infected legacy and social media. Get the best of down and dirty, wholesome American speak. Now is our time, my fellow Americans. America Out Loud Talk Radio. Liberty and justice for all.
Cholesterol, blood pressure, blood sugar, inflammation, and weight. These are all real-world problems that 87% of Americans are struggling with. Often, there are no symptoms, but left unattended, we become inundated with one health problem after another. It's time to fight back with Heal Right. Heal Right is a bar that you eat, but it's food as medicine that addresses the nutritional root cause of health issues in just 8 weeks. Developed by world-renowned scientists and backed by 15 years of research, Heal Right is effective, but it's also delicious and works without additional diet or lifestyle changes. Step out of the statistics and use food as medicine. Visit healright.com/outloud or AmericaOutloud.shop. And use the code OUTLOUD for 20% off.
lean, pure, with premium ingredients. Global Healing's pure plant protein offers 20 grams of protein per scoop, and it's the perfect way to maintain and build lean muscle while indulging yourself. It combines enzymes and probiotics to maximize nutrient absorption, improving digestion and your gut health. Available in vanilla and chocolate flavors, elevate your protein consumption while supporting your overall wellness with pure plant protein. Go to AmericaOutloud.shop and get 15% off using the code OUTLOUD. Global Healing, giving you the power to take control of your health naturally.
I'm so confused. I don't know what to do.
I'm afraid of going to the hospital.
My doctor tells me nutrition doesn't work.
Trust is earned. We are the Energetic Health Institute, and we want to earn your trust. Natural medicine, holistic nutrition, detoxification, fasting, cellular healing, and so much more. Remember, the best way to be free is to be healthy. So stop being a patient and start being a student at energetichealthinstitute.org.
Back on Unleash the Political News Hour on the America Out Loud Talk Radio Network. I'm Chris Cordani. You can follow me on X at Chris Cordani 1. That's at Chris Cordani 1. Yeah, if you want to call it Twitter, you can do that too, because it's a free country. Unless, of course, you question the government. That's where my guest comes in, Tremis Evans. He was one of the mostly peaceful protesters, if you will, on January 6th. He's helping some of these people who were being persecuted and were harassed by the government and monitored, if you will, as well. These are regular people. You watch what the government's doing to Donald Trump, Tremis, and you're thinking they're putting the full arms and legs and stomach and jackboots of themselves onto Donald Trump just to keep him from running or to cripple him when it comes to running for president against Joe Biden. By the way, it's the epitome of the old playground thing, the old playground idiom. Hey, I can beat you up with one hand tied behind my back. And that's what's happening to Donald Trump. He's got a hand, maybe even two, tied behind his back, yet he's still winning. That's great, because Donald Trump has the resources and the means to fight against the government. We're talking about people who are just everyday folks that are learning they're being monitored because of what they put on social media. They're being checked out and possibly susceptible to a future social credit score, which, by the way, is somewhat happening now when it comes to getting job interviews and when it comes to social media. And when it comes to actually dealing with other people in everyday life, depending on how far your name was, or how loudly you speak, or how far your name was pushed against the mud, you're talking about the government pulling a lot of that, or potentially a lot of that same kind of force on regular people, Tremis.
You know, the pain of this, the insanity. For people that literally walked around, the people that didn't commit acts of violence, the people that didn't commit acts of destruction or theft. And there was so very little of that in comparison to the numbers there. The reality that these people are living is they've lost their jobs. They've lost their homes. Their veterans' benefits have been shut off by the government, all because of labeling this. Now, thankfully, there does seem to be some level of sense coming from the higher courts, the D.C. District Court, which is what I reference as the activist under the robe.
But that took years. That took years, Tremis. This should never have happened.
Yeah. To remove the terrorism enhancements, the 8-point terrorism enhancements have been removed. The sentencings have been ruled to be unconstitutional or illegal sentences, improper sentences. There's so much. I mean, a misdemeanor charge means everything must be done in a Class B misdemeanor federal. Everything must be complete within 6 months, whether you get 6 months of jail or whatever, or 6 months with probation, whatever it is. And that's not what's happened. It's a maximum of 6 months in jail and a Class B misdemeanor. These people are getting the 6 months in jail and then getting 3 years of probation on a misdemeanor, what's called a petty misdemeanor. They've now been overturned by the courts. People have gone back in and said, hey, okay, well, I got sentenced wrong. I want my sentence for, you know, get rid of this probation that I'm on. I'm not supposed to be on it.
And they say, fine, if I can't give you that, then just go back to jail. If we only gave you 40 days or 90 days or whatever it was you got, 4 months, then they send them to jail for the rest of the term. So they're sending a message. Don't come back in here, even though we acted out of accordance with the law, with the standard, with the statute, with the federal sentencing guidelines. We did something different, made a special rule just for you on this day for trespassing, that we're going to now give you a new tax, and that will be more prison time if you come back in and ask to have the sentence removed. That was ruled improper by the higher court. The courts are coming out now, Chris, and saying, well, if this 1512, which we see is going to the Supreme Court and hear an argument going in now this month, and we'll see a decision by June, the courts are coming back and saying, preemptively, the judges are saying, well, I'm going to do upward departures on the other charges. I'm going to give you a sentence outside the guidelines because this crime is so heinous. And they reference, I've literally listened, sat in courtrooms and listened to judges reference that officers were killed on January 6th. I've said every officer that died on January 6th is zero. No officers died on January 6th. It never happened. Boylan was beaten by Lila Morris. Ashley Babbitt was shot by Lieutenant Michael Leroy Byrd. Kevin Greeson died at the hands of a flashbang grenade that he sustained to the chest and stopped his heart, likely. And Benjamin Phillips had a heart attack at the fray that he witnessed that certainly set him in motion. Brian Sicknick had a stroke and died a day later, had medical issues. That's a whole nother issue. So then they claim that 140 police officers were injured. Why are you over 90 of those officers injured? Were based on the idea that they threw the misfired, a CS grenade, one of those CS gas grenades, and they had inhalation of the same chemical that they were using against the demonstrators. They inhaled that. That was their injury for over 90 of the officers, and at least three of them are liars and have perjured themselves on the stand over and over again, and that would be Fanone, Gunnell, and Dunn. Those individuals absolutely perjured themselves. I invite them to come sue me anytime they like because I'm more than happy to address that for them in court.
But these officers that you say purged themselves, there's no way that there's going to be a consequence for that because they're technically agents for the government when the government wants to step on, again, those who questioned them.
Well, this is just the question. Perjury. Men that sit behind bars in prison today knew that those officers perjured themselves, had no way to prove it at the time. Video evidence from CCTV footage, that's the Capitol Police, closed circuit television footage, has proven that those were absolute lies. Now, we were screaming about this in 2022, when we were going into the Oathkeepers trial. We knew those lies existed. The judge knew that Judge Mehta knew that those problems existed, and he refused to allow the video evidence into evidence that supported the perjury performed those days in those courtrooms.
Now, I want to go into that one, though. The Oath Keepers and anybody from the Proud Boys, if they're caught anywhere near some kind of questioning or protest or anything else like that, the government's been licking its chops for a long time, and so is the media, to try to throw some of these guys in jail.
Absolutely. I mean, this is we're going to show you that the right will not be allowed to organize, stand up, protest, demonstrate, gather, assemble. That won't be allowed. That's only reserved for the leftists, and let's call them what they really are.
Yes, they are. Yes, authoritarian left. What's going on now, and you talk about weaponization, they're going to our everyday lives. We talked about this. We alluded to this in the last segment, but it's very dangerous when the government can come down and throw people in jail just for protesting. And many of these same people who are fans and rapidly are trying to persecute these people. I'm going to say persecute because that's the right word. People who are sitting in Congress right now, pretending they were afraid of the whole thing. These were also the same people who are supporting and in some cases financially supporting those who were rioting and causing problems during the St. Floyd riots. We alluded to that. But now they're also the same people who have told the FBI and CIA and any other agency that they can get their hands on to come down on anybody with a conservative lean in real life, somebody who wears a red hat. It's okay to discriminate against those people. It's okay to say, and I said this before, if you're a Catholic and you prefer the Latin Mass, it's okay to call that person a Christian nationalist or a terrorist because they're the enemy to the far left. So the enemy is basically the regular person who's making his way.
Absolutely. The average taxpayer that usually is not politically inclined other than to go and vote, maybe get involved in their local Republican Party or something like that, their Libertarian Party. It's not just that. It's anyone but them. Remember that, folks. It's anyone
but them, yes.
But them is ready, you know, to have their head bored for the simples, essentially, as they would say. But the reality is you're talking about the situation back when, think about Cory Booker. Think about Ayanna Pressley. Think about Maxine Waters.
I thought about Cory Booker and Ayanna Pressley, by the way. I've never seen those two in the same room at the same time. I think so. Just keep that in mind, okay?
Well, they're an interesting that is an interesting observation.
Well, they have the same haircut.
Well, they might have a lot more of the same than we know, but who knows? At any rate, the disturbing part of those individuals is that they were, if anyone was inciting something along the way, it was them. It was the Nancy Pelosi's. It was the Cory Booker's, Anna Presley's, et cetera, et cetera. Maxine Waters, that, you know, telling people to get up in their face, gather, make a scene, start a crowd. That became the politically accepted, handled by leadership, led by Democrats or Democommunists, whatever you want to call them, led by those individuals all through the entire term of Donald Trump. The right shows up, the conservative base shows up over a real issue, not St. Floyd, as you said, over a real issue, an actual stolen election in 2020, and once is demanding answers, demanding their right of redress of grievance of government, saying there's something problematic with this election. We demand somebody get in here and deal with this. And if you think back to the days of Palm Beach and the hanging chads that we all experienced, and we were all well aware of that situation, and we watched it. They brought it out. They displayed it on national television. Everybody got to watch the recount. There was an answer provided to the American people, right or wrong, whether it was correct or incorrect, accurate or inaccurate. There was a display that was acceptable to the people of the resolution of that election. Yet here we are today in 2024, and you're just now finding yourself in cases, and it's whatever, none other than the criminal cases against individuals that are so set, you know, by these individual prosecutors, these leftist prosecutors, that are bringing these cases against individuals for doing their job after the election and questioning certain things like the chain of custody and the nonsense where we saw the suitcases of ballots being pulled out from under a table and asking all these questions, knowing that there was no signature verification, laws were violated. It's just now making it into the courts, but how? As an attack on the people that were the whistleblowers, as an attack on the individuals that were bringing the information forward, the attack on the individuals that were raising questions as they were dutifully bound to do by their role. Yet those are the people that we're not seeing this. They tried to bring cases in the civil courts and election courts to resolve this. And those cases were dismissed. But the case that hasn't been dismissed is the criminal cases against them. This is to serve as more fear tactic, fear mongering, to let the people know that if you challenge an election, you question an election, as Democrats have done for every single election, whether it be a president or congressman, there's constantly challenges. Hillary Clinton challenged Obama in the primary, if you remember. She made a documentary about it, claiming that the machine stole her election, Dominion. And yet nobody cared. Here we are now, and fast forward to 24, and this is all, as you said, weaponized against the people, showing them that do not stand up, do not raise your head above the line, because we will chop it off, we being the state.
Exactly. I guess I like to call these people who are just trying to destroy the Constitution and stop anybody who is trying to question them about that. I like to call them constitutional demolitionists. And that's what they're doing. These people are upset that the Roe versus Wade decision didn't fall their way, but that's because the Constitution says Amendment 10 is there for a reason. Donald Trump this week, as a matter of fact, earlier this week said states should determine what to do with abortion. This is not about a national law. It's not about a national decision. It's basically about the Supreme Court upholding the Constitution. But you can't question the left when it comes to this. When you start questioning them, they start saying, no, it's the law of the land. This is something here. And again, doesn't matter where anybody stands in it at this point, you still have to abide by the Constitution. They want to demolish that because they need to kneecap the country's economy. They need to kneecap our set of personal rights, and they need to wean a population into its beloved World Economic Forum agenda, the 2030 agenda, the Great Reset Order, if you want to call it that. I know I'm mashing them all together, but they can't have free thinkers wearing red hats and asking about the Constitution, asking about election integrity, and questioning their motives. They'll just step on you. So what we're looking at is January 6th is a means for the left to tell you that's what they're going to do to you if you try that again. We can do whatever we want. We can burn neighborhoods down. Yours, heck, we could burn our neighborhoods down. You can't. You'll have to shut up and sit down and take what we give you.
That's the protected class, yes.
Now, the next question is, how do we turn that into a positive? How do we take what these people are doing and turn it around and say, look, Donald Trump gets elected. There is a similar protest asking about the election on January 6th at the Capitol building. How Donald Trump and his administration handles that will define the importance of rights and who really cares about the Constitution, who really cares about a republic, and who cares more about power.
Well, you know, we're in for a mess no matter what happens in this election.
Yes. But again, it's how leadership handles it. I don't believe a leadership should be tossing people like you in jail or grandmas and grandpas who ask them a question or who'd gather and protest how an election which had its rules changed last minute was conducted. These are questions you should be asking as a concerned citizen.
Now, they improperly and illegally in many cases changed the rules last minute in the name of COVID.
Now the rules were changed back. And yes, there are election integrity issues anywhere in the country. And I'd expect during a close election or a semi-close election, there'd be people who would want to question how this is. The thing is, the difference is how the people in power handle it. Do we come down on the people or do we let them talk? And that's going to determine the future of this country. Or at least it should be the determinant of the future of this country.
Well, there's a lot to be said for what you're saying there, in the sense that if this happens again, right, if people show up to demonstrate, to what end are they allowed to demonstrate? Is that not, I think there's a massive failure on behalf of the government to properly, the 1752, you know, the knowingly entering, remaining, and restricted building or grounds, has a great challenge going on right now, that the improper signage that didn't exist, no notification, et cetera, et cetera. There's so many problems, but what will another administration do? And I certainly hope that at this time, I think that if you don't restore the faith in the courts, faith in the government, somehow, if it doesn't matter which side of the aisle I ask, Chris, I'm sorry, I'm going to just off to track, but I'll bring it back in, I promise. No one from the left or the right, if I walk into a room full of Democrats or a room full of Republicans or libertarians or, you know, anti-government people, it doesn't matter. They're, if I ask them if Congress represents them, the approval rating is abysmal. They absolutely do not feel represented in any way, shape, or form by the actions of the United States Congress. So the legislative branch, they would both contend, is not serving them. The judicial branch is not serving them either. And both sides, the left has been screaming about this far longer than the right. And I think the right finally got a taste of some insanity, and much of which has happened, you know, throughout the time in our history. The courts were stacked against people, and it was terrible. We have a new Mason-Dixon line, and it's drawn around cities, essentially, in the idea of, it's, you know, you don't want to be tried south of the Mason-Dixon line if you were a young black man in 1960. Well, now you're sitting through a situation where you don't want to be tried in D.C., where it's drawn around that beltway, essentially. The bringing back in part is neither side believes in the government. All faith has been absolutely destroyed. The media has had its hand in it. And that's where I believe the grand upheaval comes in. World Economic Forum, the big players, the globalists will say, see, you can't do this. It's terrible. We can fix it all. We're going to come in and help. Here, enter you in peacekeeping forces, et cetera, et cetera. And I think that is exactly the hand. They don't really care how the election goes in the sense that they want to destroy the United States. This is what the whole idea of national is now a dirty idea. The Pledge of Allegiance, the thought that you would serve your country or have honor or pride in your country, is now a problem. They reference that as a Hitler-esque type mindset because they want this ultimate destruction of the line so that the globalist elitists can take over and run the whole damn show.
Exactly. It's a republic if you can keep it. But if the people that are entrusted to be in charge of that republic are trying to destroy it, it's not going to be easy. And don't dare ask, because they will come down on you. And that's what's happening to, that's what's happened to you. It's what's happening to the people who are still being prosecuted from the January 6th protest, if you will. And I'll call it a picnic, pretty much. That's what it was. But I'll get into that at another time, because we are unfortunately out of time. I wish we had plenty more. So, Tremus Evans, thank you very much for being with me here on Unleash the Political News Hour.
Thanks so much, Chris. I truly enjoyed your show. Please follow us here at Condemned USA and follow the work that we do.
Condemned USA. That's condemnedusa.com or .org?
.com. Condemnedusa.com. Okay.
CondemnedUSA.com. Find out what Tremus is up to and find out how you can participate in keeping this republic. And you can do that by, of course, listening to all of us here on America Out Loud Talk Radio Network. Check it out here. We can spread the news. We have a lot of great shows here. Also, AmericaOutLoud.shop for the latest health resources and product innovations that may well enhance your life. Use the code OUTLOUD to get special discounts. I'm Chris Cordani, hosting this edition of Unleash the Political News Hour. Thank you for being with me. Let's unleash the truth.